reality. You know, it's interesting. I've shared this story on the air a fair amount lately, and this came out even more the other day. My 13-year-old granddaughter, she and I were going somewhere, and she said, "Dotto, why is gold and silver so much money?" I said, "Well, honey, it's not really so much money." And that's when I told her the story about when I was 10 years of age and went into a bank vault with my grandfather in Maquoneago, Wisconsin, and sat down in a bank vault. They brought us this bag of peace dollars. Now, in 1958, you know, it was still legal tender money. You could still spend a peace dollar in a store, and everybody took it. And living in the country, you had IGA and various country stores, and so everybody knew it was a buck. Well, the point is, we would sit down and go through these bags and hand select. We'd look for shine and polish, and we'd look for no marks, etc. Buy as many peace dollars as we can, and we were going out of there with dated rolls, 1922s, 23s, 19 whatever, and we were paying a dollar a piece for those peace dollars. Well, today that dollar bill still says $1 on it. The peace dollar is worth about 28 bucks. Yeah. So, which one has stood the test of time? Which one still has real buying power? And she actually understood that, and that's kind of interesting. But that's one of the best arguments I could use. And that $27-$28 is probably typically for a 1921, which is the most common date there is, just like Morgan dollars were. We're not talking MS certified rare coins, any of that kind. We're talking about just a raw, what they refer to as a brilliant uncirculated coin. It's just never been graded. It means it would probably be at the low end of the scale anyway, a 60 or 61, maybe a 62. Nobody's going to spend money to grade that. It costs more money to have it certified than the coin is worth by itself.
Yeah. And
so nobody does it.
Yeah. And people were confused, Jeff, over the years. Because, I mean, there are collectibles. There are people that enjoyed, and this was more of a time, how should I say, that money was worth more, okay?
Yep.
But people liked the idea because you couldn't be a total loser. Now, there were some people out there promoting this coin or that coin or whatever. Oh, hey, this is going to have a great return on it. It's got a great investment value, blah, blah, blah. A lot of times that was true, but a lot of times it wasn't true. But that you really couldn't lose at the end of the day because it was still going to be worth the base metal price, whether it was silver or gold.
That's true. But I must emphasize this because you brought up a good point, John. And it when I started in this business, and it was probably 5 years before you and I met, and it was working for the cheese company over in Scottsdale. And their problem was, is their entire goal was to push rarity. Now, I shared this on the air the other day. Yeah, I sold some exceptionally rare coins, very high-grade, rare coins that had very low mintage or at that time very low what we call population. Maybe it was, you know, the highest known example at its time, et cetera, et cetera. And all of those things have tremendous meaning. The problem is they started selling common date graded coins and with all these promises. Well, I got a woman who was listening here about a month ago. She contacted me. She wants to do some liquidating, and her business, which is predominantly her family, also wants her to liquidate. She bought over $200,000 worth of $20 Liberties and St. Gaudens before the turn of the century, before Y2K. They were MS62s. That is a low grade. Those things never should have been graded. And today, if she had to liquidate, she's going to lose $60,000. Gold was $250 an ounce then. It's $1,200 and some today. How can she be down $60,000? Because the coins were offered as something much higher value than they really were. She got taken to the cleaners. This is the stuff that angers me about the phony rare coin business.
Yeah, yeah.
How many businesses have you and I watched literally dissipate in the last 3, 4, 5 years? People like Hannes Tovig, who kept praying to God when he got people's money and the value would drop so he could get he could keep more money for himself. And by the time it was done, he was put out of business. He got sued for like $14 million of non-delivered goods. Our friends up north in Minnesota, you know who we're speaking of, the muffler company.
Yeah.
They've been basically shut down for a minimum of 3 years for
IRS.
IRS,
yeah. He's got about a year to go on that, and this was brought on by taking people's money and not delivering. He had had this problem before, and I remember when I was on that network, I would get calls trying to get me to get to him. Yeah. There was a car collector out of New York. I forget how much he bought. I think it was $500,000 or $1 million.
Jeez, God.
And it wasn't being delivered. And it wasn't being delivered. And what got him in trouble with the AG in Minnesota, he was taking people's money, promising delivery, and the deliveries weren't being made. That opened up in an investigation. And it was bad enough. They said, you will make this restitution. You will make this good. And then you're going to go away for 3 years. You're not going to be allowed to do this. So, yeah.
Well, let me share this with you, because there are some very strange laws when it comes to the coin business. Understand, no one in this industry dealing with gold, silver, platinum, we're talking the physical delivery property. We're not talking Wall Street with the ETFs and the stocks and the futures and all that. We're talking people like myself who take an order and deliver a real product. There are some, none of us, not a single one of us are licensed. There is no requirement for licensing. Like a stockbroker would be, okay? And most people don't understand that. Your problem comes into the fact that let's assume that I take a $10,000 or $20,000 order or a $100 order tonight. The guy sends his payment. Most of these companies will tell you, well, you know, if you send a personal check, we've got to hold your funds for, you know, 10 business days before we can clear and ship. Okay, so let's say they get the check on a Friday. Well, Friday's done, so you got Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now you got 5 days of business. Maybe there's a holiday, so it's only 4 days. Once that 10 legitimate business days is up, they've got 28 business days more before they even have to ship it. That's the law. I don't like that. I've got people that have walked into Chase. They've made a direct deposit into my account. Those funds clear tonight at midnight. I'm transmitting funds out the next day. Our clients, John, those of RBNs and Kettle Moraine, when they make a purchase from us and the funds come in, I'm talking even a personal check. Checks take a few days to get here by mail.
Mm-hmm.
If I deposit that check by 4 o'clock this afternoon, it clears by midnight tonight. That's the reality of the banking industry, unless you've got a funky account or you've had problems. I've had the same account since 1996. I've only had two clients that sent me flaky checks. They were legitimate checks. Both of them were older guys, one from Wyoming, one from Montana. They were both old cattle ranchers, and they had so many bank accounts, and they sent checks. Both of them didn't even know each other. Also happened to accidentally go shut their accounts down. So the check bounced. I called them. They were embarrassed as hell. Yeah, yeah. Both of them wired and sent me the $50. They covered the wire fees for me, sent me the extra $50 that I got hit with an overdraft.
Funny you should mention that, because, you know, I've been fond of telling my bank they like to hold up out-of-country checks. And I told them, I said, you know, I've got advertisers that have been with me for a dozen years. And I said, and they send the same amount of money the same way. Nothing has changed in 12 years. And, oh, it's a requirement that we hold that check 5 or 6 business days. And so I called up New York. I called the main branch up in New York. I go, what's the deal with this? Oh, well, no, it's not a policy across the board with Chase. It's up to the individual branches if they want to do that.
And John, a lot of it has to do with the volume of business that you're doing, both incoming and outgoing, maybe how much you're putting on your bank's credit card, whatever it happened. There's a lot of variables.
Now, the variable here was simply they were doing it for me. They would not hold. The check was delineated in U.S. dollars.
Yep.
And it was credited immediately to my account. It was the new regime, management regime that came in that really didn't like yours truly all that much and decided, well, we're just going to stick it to this guy a little bit.
No, I remember you had a good management team in there at one time, and they treated you differently.
Yes, they did.
And but you know, those kind of things happen, and it's frustrating. I have one client that comes to me twice a year. He is an attorney. He is the brother of the secretary that we used to have at Viking. many, many years ago. And when he first came to me, he wanted to do a very large deal and pay me in cash. I said, listen, are you nuts? You're a freaking attorney. You know what the laws are with cash, blah, 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 blah. So invariably, he gave me a check a couple of times, and then I said, okay, let's go for it. Let's give it a try and see what happens. And he started paying me cash. I'm talking 75 to 100 grand in $100 bills at a time.
Wow.
And, of course, now, about 2.5 years ago, you know, it used to be I could walk in, make the deposit because of the length of time I've had the account and the lack of trouble, and there was no signs that I was trying to do any funny business or traffic money, drug money, or any of that kind of nonsense. It became an easy situation. But now, starting about 1.5 years ago, they're starting to charge me like 2.5%. Can you carry this for just a second? This is a call I've got to take. It's
sure.
An emergency.
Go right ahead. See there? I knew I was here for a reason. I knew this emergency was going to come in at 7:10 and 57 seconds. The other thing, folks, that I wanted Jeff to talk about for a minute, this deal that you send your money. You call up, you want X number of dollars in gold or silver or a mix thereof. And on that particular day, market spot is this, da-da-da-da. What a lot of these unscrupulous people will do is they'll do a deal and they'll hold on to your money as long as they legally possibly can and then some, and wait for the market to drop a little bit so they can make a little bit more money off the deal. Now, that's a double-edged sword. If they don't lock something in and they don't take physical delivery or at least put the order in for the gold or silver and the price goes up, well, guess who's out? It's not going to be you because you made a deal and you locked it in on that day. You made an agreement. Okay, I want X number of this, that, and the other. And how much is that? Okay, my money's on the way. And Jeff is right. A lot of unscrupulous people out there would play the float game.
And that's exactly what it is. And that's what happened to people like Toby. Yep. There used to be 5 different advertisers on Fox News for precious metals. And some of them are out of business. It's amazing. Look, I'm small. I don't have 20, 30 brokers working here doing the pitch. I don't pick up the phone, go dialing for dollars. Oh, my God, you got to grab this. You know, this is nonsense. People contact us because they've got a long-term relationship with us. And because they trust us, I've got a gentleman who's in Virginia now who his father began doing business with me probably 15, 18 years ago. And eventually the son began to do stuff. And they both acquired some pretty intense amounts of gold. And that's probably over the years, probably $250,000, $300,000 worth of gold. And his father had Alzheimer's. And was not doing well. They were at that time living in another state. And he said, look, we got to sell this place. We're going to go buy another place up north. I got to get my dad out of here, get him moved closer to a VA that's in a better situation to handle him. Right. So we handled a liquidation of about $135,000. They moved. His dad lasted about 2 months and died anyway. Mm. But was much happier to be where they were. Yeah. He's turned around and subsequently began to buy back from me. But that's because of a long-term relationship that we've had with the family, et cetera. Yeah. This is not uncommon. I tell this to people, especially new people I'm just talking to. When you place an order, it's locked in right then and there for you. That's the price. There's not going to be any change. I'm not going to say, oh, my God, it's up $20. Got to send me more. It doesn't work that way. But their money gets used to pay for their order. It's not getting paid. Used to pay for somebody from 3-4 weeks ago. I don't play those games. And, it's an accounting nightmare.
And I'll tell you something that really, and I'm going to tip my hand here, this will piss off anybody that sells gold or silver. And how many times have you had this happen, Jeff? You lock in a deal, said price, that was acceptable. Okay, the money's on the way. Well, it's on the way. It wasn't wired immediately or I'm sending you a check. Then you get a phone call a day or two later and going, wait a minute, I want to cancel my order. When really, in reality, the market has dropped a few cents or maybe a buck or two, and they're going to go out there and they're going to cancel that deal. And then without admitting to you, they won't cancel and come back to you the next day and repurchase. They'll cancel that, and they've already bought it from another broker because they saved a buck or two. And if you think on this on the averages, this fluctuates up and down. I mean, look at the gold market. Hell, it's up $15, $20 one day. It stays there. It's okay. Net gain, nah, nothing over a couple of days. Then you turn around and it's down $15. It all averages out until the big one drops.
It's you know, over the years, I've not had it happen a lot. Now, you and I've briefly, through emails, if nothing else, since I returned here at the beginning of August, we've had four transactions that did not go through. One was probably the first call I took. Young lady, you could hear a little baby crying in the background, got all excited, ordered a single roll of, I think they were silver dollars, and never followed through, never sent the money, never anything. Emailed her out the receipt or the confirmation order. Mm-hmm. We had three other people that bailed. Now, one of them contacted me the next morning. He'd had a family emergency come up. I've known this guy for 15, 20 years. And he was so excited. In fact, he was driving down the road and happened to hear me on the air, and it blew him away, and that's why he called. But, he sent me a note. The other two just never heard back, couldn't get a hold of them, nothing.
Yeah.
Those things happen. But markets go up and down. Look, the majority of the people that call, specifically those who are, obviously listening to RBN, they're excited. This is a way that, and every one of them say, I want to help RBN. This is one of the ways I want to contribute.
And thank you for bringing that up, because I'm going to cut you loose here. I've got to run, but this is what I wanted to explain to people. When you were on the network before, you were operating under Republic Trading Group,
mm-hmm.
which is no more. Now you're hearing Mr. Bennett's voice. You're hearing my voice. If you look at our webpage, there's, what is up there? It's Kettle Moraine. It's not Republic Trading Group. But he is doing the deals, and RBN is getting commission off of the sales that he does. So I want you people to keep that in mind. Just because our Republic Trading Group up and went away doesn't mean that we do not benefit by the transactions you made. This is why I snidely said on the air one day, there's a lot of people out there that used to deal with RTG, and when RTG went away, so did they. Well, we're back. You're going to be able to get to deal with somebody. Jeff Bennett, I've said this. I've said it to many of my friends. I've said this to everybody that I've ever mentioned your name to. I said, no matter what, I said, Bennett does a straight deal. Never, ever once did I ever raise my eyebrow and go, oh, what's this? Straight shooter, makes good on the deals that are made, no excuses, no BS, and it's done. You can trust this guy.
Can't afford to do business that way, because that kind of information, starts getting around and it goes on other people's broadcasts. It's interesting. Obviously, I've begun to deal with some people I've never spoken with before. And some of them, they're next to impossible for us to do anything for. I had a call with a really nice guy the other night, and he wants to pick up a few things for Christmas gifts, etc. They're not the kind of things I can get through any of my normal suppliers. I can go to a local guy and do it. We're going to pay a slightly higher price. I can get it out to him with some very affordable shipping, but to be honest with you, it's going to take me out of here for 2 hours across town to get the stuff, get back here, and by the time we're done, we're both losing money. And he's doing okay, but it's and I'm not going to gouge the guy because I've got these additional expenses to do the deal.
Right.
Those kind of things happen, and it's for the most part, there's no deal that's too small. Somebody comes to me with a couple of $100, whatever. I've got some silver rounds, quarter ounce rounds we can do. I've even got some copper pieces. I've got a gentleman who's interested in acquiring both. One of these days, I'm going to spend considerable time talking about copper. It's a low entry deal. It's one of those things that down the road I think is going to do very well for us, because I think silver and gold are going to explode. Copper is going to be, which by the way is the world's oldest metallic form of money. There were copper coins, copper ingots, copper rounds before silver and gold were ever used as monetary exchanges. And people forget those things, and yet we can get some stuff at amazingly good prices.
And those are the days that heretofore there was no metal.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah. They used teeth.
There you go. All right. Well, Jeff, I appreciate it. I didn't want to spend this much time, but I'm glad to be able to converse with you on air. And again, folks, just keep in mind, that every time that you make a purchase of gold or silver, and it's locked in, everything is on the up and up, at fast delivery. The people that that Jeff deals with, the very same people we used to deal with before, the delivery's fast. If there is any, and generally this is the rule, there are no problems. If, and the outside chance that there is ever a problem, they ship the wrong thing or the wrong grade or whatever, it's taken care of just like that. No excuses, just what you paid for.
Yeah.
And that is it. So, folks, if you've gone someplace and you're thinking about making a purchase for gold or silver again, I need you to call Mr. Bennett. What is that number, sir?
623-327-1778. 623-327-1778. I'll tell you that almost 100% of the time that call forwards to my cell phone. So if I don't get your message, if I don't get your call right away, I'll call you back. It's going to come up with a different number. Don't worry about it. I'll leave messages. We'll get together. That's what we try to do. And
Well, we're looking for support, folks. And something like this, it's a win-win-win situation. It really is. Jeff, I appreciate the time, my friend. You got about 40 minutes here, and I will see you again next week.
Bet you will.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
All right, man. Well, that was actually good to have that conversation. We've not really had that opportunity to do so. Obviously, it cuts into what the game plan was for the hour, but that's kind of the nature of the beast. My emergency phone call was not one that I was hoping to get, and it's not good. But let's take a look and see what markets did. Some strange things today. Dow was down about 76 points, closed at 24.5, almost 509. S&P 500 was off almost 11 at 26.52. NASDAQ down 19 and a quarter at 68.56. Oil up another 9 cents today. We're at 57.13. The metals did some interesting things. I was speaking with a gentleman early in the week, a little bit of Monday and Tuesday, and at one point in time we were at 12.48 or something. It dropped off another $3-4. This is for gold at 1248 down to 1244. Started slipping back up. It's currently at about 1256, or at least that was closing New York today. Let's take a look and see what the updates are right now. Gold actually at present moment up a quarter since opening, and we're at 1250, roughly 1254. Silver at 1592. I'm rounding things up. It's like a 0.2 of a penny or something. It's not a big deal. The ratio right now, gold and silver, 78.62 something or other. It's outrageous. Absolutely insane. 78-8 or some crazy thing like that. There's a lot of things that are available. We went on the air the other night with not the kind of coin that I do a lot with. It's a specialty piece. I did get a call because of it, but it's not really the direction he wants to go. These were roughly half-ounce pieces, the $10 Liberties. The price was amazingly good. Some of those were sold, I specialize a lot in quarter ounce. Look, you can buy a 1 ounce gold piece, an American Eagle, a Maple Leaf, a Vienna Philharmonic. You're going to pay X number of dollars for it. Now, if you buy 4 1/4 ounce pieces, your net cash outlay is going to be higher. There's just no two ways about it. Because your cost per ounce goes up. The smaller the piece is, the higher the cost is going to be on a per ounce basis. But the more liquid the smaller pieces become. I had a conversation with a general contractor from Tucson this morning, and he understood that mentality from the standpoint of, if you're having an engine overhauled, and you need to whip out a couple of 1 ounce gold pieces because you can find somebody that understands that and he'll trade with you, that's pretty well going to do a good job. If all you're looking for is a brake job, or you got to have your your exhaust system and your cat converter overhauled and serviced, etc. No, now you only want to be dealing with quarter ounce pieces, because otherwise, how are you going to deal with change? And you certainly don't want to go in there and get, you know, a complete exhaust system and catalytic converter and maybe a few other things and walk in there with rolls and rolls and rolls of silver. Although the time will come and it ain't going to take too many silver pieces to get the job done. The question I'm asked every day, well, Jeff, what do you think gold and silver are going to do? Well, they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to go up or they're going to go down. But whichever one they do, it'll eventually do the opposite. We could see gold, you know, many years ago during the Carter era, gold reached $850 an ounce momentarily, and it began to come back down. That would have been, what, early, late 70s, just before Reagan. And we didn't see any major moves in gold for a long, long time. We saw in 1992, gold had finally just kept slinking down. And between 1980 and up to about 2001, 2002, it'd go up a little bit, come down a little bit. Now, keep in mind, the grading, the certification of so-called collectibles did not begin until 1986. It's not like the ANA, American Numismatic Association, wasn't doing something. 1986, a company called PCGS, Professional Coin Grading Service, came along. Their chief grader was a man named John Albanese, who a year or so later got fed up with the way PCGS was doing things. He thought that they were overgrading. They were not being honest and integral. So he started a company called NGC, Numismatic Guarantee Corporation. Simple terms, all coins ever minted would typically grade between 2 and 70. Any coin that grades from 2 to 59 have been in circulation. They've been spent. They've been in people's pockets. They were in cash registers. They were in buckets. They were whatever. Once a coin reaches an MS60, that means mint state, that is a coin that has been designated as had never been circulated before. But an MS60 is a low grade, 61, 62. These are grades that theoretically don't even really exist. How many of you ever looked at the Red Book? It's a coin book. It's called the Red Book of American Coins. And if you take a look in their book and look at their grading, they'll touch on the 2 up to the in the 50s. You've got a fine at 20 and an extra fine at 40 and... 40 out of a 70s, so-so. Once you hit the 60s, it's got MS60, which is your lowest grade of recognized uncirculated coin. The industry, in any degree of seriousness, never wasted their time looking at 61s or 62s. What do they mean? A 61 is, well, it's a little better than the average 60, but a 62 isn't quite as good as the MS63, which is a more recognized grade. I mean, these were filler grades. It's kind of like a 60, 61 plus or a 62 minor, a 63 minus. That's really what they mean. 63s were recognized, 65s were recognized. And as far as true coin collectors are concerned, who are truly looking for the higher grade, the so-called numismatic, MS65 is the base grade. Now, unless you're finding an ultra superbly rare coin where MS65 is almost completely elusive, you know, you would never look at a 60 or an AU58 or something of that nature. And yet I was offered 2 gold coins today, and I don't have this in front of me, it's in my other office, that absolutely blew my mind. These were tiny little gold coins, extremely small mintage to begin with. In 1 year, one of the coins only minted 35,000 specimens. The other was 13,000. These coins could have been had for about $7,000 a piece. Now, that is a rarity. You're not going to find tons of numbers. Stay with us for a few minutes. We will be right back, okay?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
That piece of music in quite some time. Welcome back to tonight's Protecting Your Wealth. Needless to say, I had directions I was going to take this program tonight, and most of them were not going to take place. Just the time John and I spent with you together, and I'm really trying to share with you a little bit of a crash course. Look, After the program the other evening, I got a letter from a very long-time listener and a huge supporter of RBN's, and she was rather upset with me because of the direction I took on Bitcoin the other night after having the previous week taken on a different direction. And as I explained to her, look, there's a number of things for one to understand. I do what I do. I specialize in what I specialize in, what I know. The whole thing with Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies in general is not something that one can sit down and read a couple of paragraphs and be ready to say, oh, yeah, this is the way to go. This is the way to go. She's done some things that have done very well for her, but she's been doing it for a number of years. I have not had the time to devote to getting into it that deeply. What I attempted to do was to, over those two programs, is to share with you a balanced scale. Here's the good, the bad, and the ugly. But that's not what I sell. It's not what I market. Might that change in the future? We may do some things, but I've got a wide range of issues going on within my family right now, and that's in addition to 5 websites and daily programs and dealing with clients, et cetera, et cetera. I've got 3 granddaughters my wife and I are pretty well responsible for right now. And I've only got so many hours of the day. I can't give more than 18, 20 hours a day. I got to at least have 4 hours sleep. So, I just want you to understand that. It one is not designed to wash the other. It's designed to say, here's the frick and the frack of it, so to speak. So what I'm trying to do with you right now is share with you kind of a basic education about coinage, but understand I don't do a lot in the marketing of historic or rare coins. There are some laws that make it if a gold grab should go, then anything minted prior to 1933 is exempt from confiscatory policy, etc. And that still stands. It was actually expanded in 1954 by Congress, because prior to that it was strictly U.S. coins. But they began to realize that anything minted prior to 1933, whether it was Swiss, British, French, Italian, German, Australian, South American stuff, whatever, all had historic value, therefore was deemed a so-called collector's piece. But a collector, there's collectors and there's collectors. There's a rare coin collector. That's typically going to be your old railroad magnates. And Roosevelt was a stamp collector, and many of his compatriots were coin collectors. And they went to him and said, hey, FDR, booby baby, if you make it illegal to hold on to these things, and at what point are you going to have to start confiscating rare stamps too? He understood that. He backed off. And that's where Section 2, Paragraph B came into his executive order. By the way, if you ever decide you want to look at that, you can go to KettleMorainePreciousMetals.com. And at the top, there's a section called the Information Vault. And if you drop down 2 slots, hit Why Gold, you're going to see 6 or 7 posts that are permanent. They're permanent pieces. And one of them is entitled Franklin D. Roosevelt and Gold Confiscation. There's not only a photograph of what was once posted in the U.S. Postal Offices, but there is a complete written transcript of exactly what Roosevelt's executive order said. Now, having said all of that, and by the way, going back to those days, criminal penalties for violation of the executive order, $10,000 fine or 10 years imprisonment or both, as provided in Section 9 of the order, signed William H. Wooden, Secretary of the Treasury. It's an interesting piece of reading if you care about reading on history, but I may offer some pre-1933 coins, but I'm offering them more from the standpoint of what, for the most part, what their bullion content is worth. I don't care about the rarity side. But as I mentioned, there are collectors and there's collectors. There's the guys that buy the high end. Keep in mind, proof coins today. A proof coin is a coin struck by the U.S. Mint or any other national mint that is struck on a highly polished planchet or disc, a disc of gold, a disc of silver, whatever, highly polished. They are almost hand-stamped. Today they're done by machine, but they're, and I don't mean hand-stamped, but it's a very slow process. They exert tremendous pressure, cutting the devices or the images deeply into the coin. And then you wind up with a polished background and maybe a frosted image of an Indian or Miss Liberty or whatever. That is a proof coin. Today, they mint millions of them. They put them out, throughout the year for birthday presents, Christmas. 1954 is the year you were born. You can get a whole proof set, etc. And sometimes down the road, there some of those sets are worth a ton of money. But that's not why people do them. They buy them in commemoration of the birth of a kid or a grandkid or whatever. Proof coins in the old days were struck at the written request of collectors, and these were wealthy people. This wasn't Farmer Joe and his wife, Susan, off in Missouri somewhere, okay, not as a rule. And based upon the number of letters they received, was the indicative factor as to exactly how many of those coins they would strike in a given year. There was one year that only 75, the equivalent of 75 sets was struck. Now, that's an exceptionally rare selection. Maybe houses burned down. Maybe earthquakes or fires took some of them out. Floods, who the heck knows? Maybe somebody stole the darn things and put them and spent them into circulation. So the survivorship rate is exceptionally low. But there's those kind of collectors. Then there's the kind of collectors that had a little blue book, and they just went out trying to find the nicest looking penny or dime or nickel or quarter or whatever to put in the books. Okay, most of them were circulated. Maybe the latest dates that you were getting for this year, you could get a proof or an uncirculated piece from the bank as they open up the rolls after the 1st of January. So those are two different kind of collectors. But no one's got the right to say that a particular item is confiscatable or confiscable because of its condition. So, all right, one's a true collector. The other one's probably more of a hobbyist. But where's the separation between collector and hobbyist when it comes to something like this? So when these two gold pieces were submitted to me today by one of my suppliers, and I get daily things, these two coins were cool. These were small little gold pieces. They might have been $1 pieces. That's tiny. I mean, take an old $20 gold piece if you had one, and realize that a $1 is 1/20th of that size. The $10 gold piece we offered the other day was exactly half the size, half the weight of a 20, and a 5 is half again. Well, we also had $4 gold pieces. We had threes. $3 gold pieces were struck predominantly for the use with the U.S. Postal Service because stamps were typically 3 cents a stamp for a long time. Most packages, they wouldn't charge more than $3 to ship. Well, how do you ship something from Oregon all the way out to Maryland? $3 is worth a lot of money back then. $3 is nothing today. It's chump change. So these two coins, these gold pieces, one of them only had 13,000 total coins ever struck that year with the intent of putting them in circulation and spending them. The other one had 34,000, 34,500, something like that. They were both, one of them, if I'm not mistaken, only had, I believe, 7 known examples that have ever been graded. Now, that could mean there's a lot more of them out there that weren't graded, or some of them wind up in a piece of jewelry, or their earrings, or, you know, the kids drill the holes in their ears and stick little tubes in them, or whatever the heck these kids do today. So there's variables that way. Yeah, those two coins would have sold for about $7,000, $7,200 a piece. That's not what the majority of you people come here for. Although those kind of coins, if you can afford it, those are the kind of scarce pieces that are worth getting a hold of. Even though neither one was high grade, they were still certified and graded and in the proper hermetically sealed, airtight, watertight holders to protect them. And of course, they come with holograms on them to guarantee their authenticity, etc. And it gives you a guarantee that if that should ever be questioned, the grading company will back you up. So those kind of things become unique to look at. We can find those in old silver dollars, old Seated Liberty half dollars. I had a gentleman years ago who lived in Canada who acquired, I was still at the cheese company then, and he bought a proof 67. That's something I didn't get into. Remember we talked about the mint state? Any coin that was minted, meant for circulation, that would grade between 60 and 70, that's what they call a mint state coin. But there's also a secondary grade of from 60 to 70, and that's for proof coins. Proof coins were never minted to be put in circulation, but they were struck specifically for collectors. 70 is the highest grade you can get. And I remember the owner of the cheese company saying, well, you know, we got a proof 67, proof 68. There'll never be a proof 70 because, like Christ, he's the only one of perfection that can walk on water. These guys use the Bible to sell their wares. It used to drive me nuts. It's a good sales pitch, but that to me is exactly what it is. Don't play those kind of foolish games with me. it's that kind of mentality that finally forced me to say, I'm getting out of here and going to work for a company that does not dispense that kind of BS. I mean, sitting on the phone with unsuspecting clients or potential clients and praying over them and all this nonsense, and then having Pastor Tommy Barnett chew them out because they broke their covenant with Swiss America the same way they would break a covenant with God. This kind of stuff annoyed me. And the time had come to leave, and I'm very happy that I did. And I worked for a couple of other companies, Viking, John and I mentioned earlier. And I, prior to that, worked for a company called North American Trading. They eventually sold out to another company. The guy who had developed it came in there with more money, knew nothing about coins other than the fact he'd been a broker at the cheese company for a few months. And he learned the things not to do. Well, the guy from Canada got this Proof 67 Sea of Liberty half dollar from me. And when he got it, the guy had my home phone number. I left Swiss. And so he called me and said, this is the most amazing coin I've ever seen. Now, he said, I did get a phone call. I received notification you're no longer with the cheese company, but I don't feel obligated to them. I trust you. Would you continue to represent me? I said, because you're asking, I can do that. I cannot solicit your business. He said, I would like you to build for me a complete proof set of that particular year. Now, it may not have been a Proof 67. Come to think of it, the year was 1867. That much I remember. And it took a little over a year to do it. We had one degree of dissatisfaction, but there was nothing either one of us could do about it. The silver dollar was the last piece we acquired. There was a lot. There was a penny. There was a half dime, a couple of different nickels that year. And you had the quarter, the half dollar, et cetera, the gold pieces. It was an amazing set. Now, he lived in Canada, but he had a New York mailbox, and he'd go across the border, pick up his goods, and scoot back home, and et cetera. That worked out very, very nicely. An amazing gentleman, and sits with a very, very nice, high-end collection. What is it worth right now, today? May not be as worth as much as he paid for it back then, partially because of the hype of the phony rare coin industry. Partially because the stock market is doing what it's doing and so many people have moved their money back to Wall Street, which they love. You begin to see the problems that I've been able to overcome. I don't want to take customers down the wrong path at any time. Somebody who is truly interested in something very, very special, yes, expect to pay for it. But understand, I've seen coins that were marketed as the finest known, K-N-O-W-N, and at the time, they were. Now, keep in mind, there's two premier grading services that are still accepted and recognized all over the world, PCGS and NGC. There are other companies, some Johnny-come-latelys that came along. They're not as well accepted. Their grading standards might be a little looser. But how loose can they possibly be? I used to own MS64 $20 St. Gaudens gold pieces. Those coins were eventually broken out of the case and regraded MS66. Now, that means the grading services dropped their standards. They took a lesser quality coin, and all of a sudden, well, because of the new standards and our criteria, we've now deemed this to be an MS66. You just took a coin worth $4,500 and made it worth about $15,000. Who got the profit out of that deal? Interesting. Interesting concept. I don't want to put your money at that kind of risk. And so, like I say, the offer we made the other evening for the $10 Liberty gold pieces. These are the width model variety in XFAU, although they're really more AU than they are XF. That's conditioned extra fine to about uncirculated. Nearly a full half ounce of gold at what, $660, I think it was, for a single coin, or a 1 to 9 coins. It's $660 each. $5 savings if you went 10 coins or more. An exquisite coin, absolutely beautiful coin. There were three different varieties of that particular design. They did some slight alterations to the nose, the head, things like that, the size of the head. In fact, in the photograph on the website, down toward the bottom of the ad, there's a photograph of three coins. And one of them is actually not of that Liberty variety. That looks to be more like the $3 Princess. But I'd have to do some pretty intense looking. You know, the ad is still up there. I don't know if I can still get coins or not. It's one of those things I'd be more than happy to inquire into. But they are an exquisite coin. It's a half ounce of gold. And, you know, those are the kind of things to go. And it's not priced like a rare coin. It's priced more like bullion. That's where they belong. Okay? There might be a slight premium, but not much. It's a privacy issue you're having to deal with. Those are the things we do. It's your money. It's not my money. I will get on the phone with you. I'll give you whatever time that you feel you need for education. A lot of the education that you can get right here at our website, KettleMorainePreciousMetals.com. Easiest way to get there, for those of you who listen to RBN, go to RBN's website, RepublicBroadcasting.org. In the upper right-hand corner or area of that site, there is a picture, I believe, of a gloved hand holding a silver bullet. That's obviously supposed to represent the Lone Ranger. If you click on that, it'll take you directly to Captain Morgana's treasure chest, which will show you the current offering that we have. But if you then click up on the left-hand area right below the banner, it says home. Go there. You'll be able to start reading the headlines, news articles of the day that are economically based. We've got a marvelous historical piece up right now that I think that shows you how much the government has been involved with destroying so much in this country. The exportation of how many tens of thousands of jobs overseas to build our furniture, to build our automobiles offshore, the tax incentives these corporations are being given, how the unions had suffered over the years and no longer had the ability to stand up for their union members, how we've watched wages be overtaken by inflation to the point that the wages today buy less than they did in the 1960s for a similar wage. These are the kind of pieces we post. This particular one, the rise and decline of the welfare state, I was going to share with you tonight. It takes nearly the full hour to present it. But also in that black bar directly below the banner. Now, I change that banner from time to time. Currently, it's got a picture of a certified gold piece, a raw gold piece, some old U.S. dollar bills in the background. One of them looks like a 20. Maybe it's a 2. I can't remember offhand. There's another one with Andy Jackson on it. And that's current. But there's a section called the Information Vault. And under the Information Vault, you find several things. There's a whole thing that describes who Kettle Moraine is and why and how long we've been doing this. The section we shared with you before called Why Gold, there is a section that will take you to one page to the Golden IRA. It describes the self-directed individual retirement account that specifically deals with precious metals going into your IRA. There's a whole very detailed section entitled Frequently Asked Questions. But let's go to the next link over, the Asset Vault. There's what I call the Combi Bar Vault. That's an amazing thing to look at. And for those of you who might have ever looked at Carat Bar International, the Combi Bar, and maybe those of you who are, let's call it survivalists, may find the Combi Bar to be an extremely interesting acquisition. It's a real gold bar, the size of a credit card, completely breakable into 51 gram pieces of gold. They snap off clean. And you know what? This is interesting. The grade 0.999.9 pure gold, 50 grams of it. Oh, no, it's not a credit card, but it's the size of one. It can slip into your wallet to be pulled out to purchase goods just like a normal credit card. And this card is called the Valcombi Gold Combi Bar. We can get smaller pieces. We can get 1-ounce pieces that'll break off into the tenth of an ounce, etc. But there's photographs of all this stuff. There's quite an interesting history behind it. And as I've shared with people, stay away from the dinars and the celery and the carrots. I had a woman who purchased $60,000 worth of these from me at one point. If she had made the same purchase through Combi Bar International, she would have paid about $28,000 more. The next section out of the asset vault, the gold bullion vault, we show gold bars, you know, things of that nature, different sizes. There's the American vault, which will typically show some of the more numismatic type, not necessarily the rare, but it'll give you examples of the ones in the two and a halfs and the $5, $10, $20 gold pieces, the Liberty series, the St. Gaudens, etc. The International Vault will give you some examples of very wide and large examples of many of the international coins that we've dealt with over the years. Some may be available at any given time, some may not. The one question I get, well, I've been to your site, but you don't list any prices. I'll tell you why. I've never had the time nor the money to invest in one of those programs and make the proper connection to the right site so that we can get literally up to the minute spot changes. Most of the spot figures you look at on the various websites around the country are not the spot figure they're going to use to sell to you. Those are wholesale figures. That's the basis of what they'll buy from you for. So the minute you need a real spot figure you're going to buy from them, well, the price goes up a couple of bucks and you're going to pay a higher price. It's all a waste. I like the one-on-one. I do not do online orders. We do not take credit or debit cards. I do not do PayPal. There's a reason for that, which I'll share with you another night. We have a section called the Silver Bullion Vault. You know, things like silver rounds, the A-Mark rounds, Buffalo rounds, junk silver, bars, silver bars, things of that nature. The Copper Vault is a very, very interesting education. As I mentioned to John before the break, I think copper is the world's oldest form of metallic money. It came along long before gold and silver did. And I think that next week what I want to do is I want to share with you Khan, the story of Khan. You understand where banks initially came from, who really came up with the concept of a bank. They didn't call it a bank. Maybe they called it Bunko. That's another story. But the section on copper is interesting. Platinum vault. And of course, we've got Captain Morgana's treasure chest. I think I prefer Morgana as opposed to Morgan the Pirate. That always reminds me of Chase. So these are the kind of areas you want to take a look at. Get to know what some of your options are. Are they every single option that's out there? Absolutely not. But I've got to hang some teasers out there. Your individual needs will be addressed on a one-on-one basis when you call. Maybe you're wanting Eagles. Maybe you want Maple Leafs. Maybe you want South African Krugerrands. And for years, Krugerrands were a bloody bargain. Now, all of a sudden, they're not. We want to take a look at a wide range of issues. We want to look at inflation. We want to look at recessions, depressions. There was a piece I came across just a little while ago. My God, time's up already? Holy moly! We are out of time. Well, thanks for letting me ramble for 40 minutes. We've either driven you all totally bonkers, or if you learned something with it, carry it through. We'll see you next Tuesday. This is Thursday. Yeah. See you. Thank you much. Good night.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.